Here's a little travel tip for the summer. The AAA doesn't usually advise this, but if you hippity-hoppity off to a different land, by God, make sure it includes South Hadley, Massachusetts. There's no reason it shouldn't. And if you're in South Hadley, you have to go to the Odyssey Bookshop. It is one of the oldest and most beautiful independent bookstores in the country, and it is certainly, it's terrific, and in no small measure because of our guest, Joan Grenier, who has been at the helm for so many years, and a family affair and one of love, and it shows when you walk through that store. This morning, Joan joins us, as we do each Tuesday, for a list of books, book picks for the week, to find great titles that are on store shelves, and it's always a pleasure to welcome Joan Grenier to the program. Well, hello, dear friend. How are you?
Thank you, Joe, so much. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
I love your store. I
wish you were closer.
Me too. It is a hike, but it is, as you well know, because you just did it.
Mm-hmm, we did.
So the great thing about it is you park down and you go into the children's section downstairs, and then you walk upstairs and it's like
children's and fiction too.
And fiction and mystery. The whole store. Oh my God, it's just a great browsing store. A lot of fun.
Thank you.
All right. Let us begin on the great books that are on those shelves.
Well, I'm going to start with a book that my husband John and I have an active citizen book group that's been meeting for a little over 2 years. And we usually pick, current events, political history. And we had picked Madea Benjamin's Kingdom of the Unjust, Behind the U.S.-Saudi Connection, which, of course, is very relevant right now. And so many Americans don't know hardly anything about Saudi Arabia, except that it has a lot of oil and it's a desert. So this book is a primer. It's kind of a short paperback, but boy, does she put a lot of information into this one book. You find out things like Saudi Arabia is a monarchy and an Islamic theocracy. It's been an ally of the U.S. since 1945, when FDR met with the king there, and they agreed to provide the kingdom with security and military assistance, and Saudi Arabia would provide the U.S. with oil. And this was the beginning of the Cold War, and also decades-long relationship between the two countries. But there's some problems with Saudi Arabia. Sunni Islam, a particular branch of it called Wahhabism, which is after an 18th century religious scholar, is the state religion. And even Shia Muslims are discriminated in the country, which they make up about 10 to 15%. And of course, they live in the oil-rich eastern part of Saudi Arabia. Until March of 2004, the official government website stated that Jews were forbidden from entering the country. And now, as of December 2014, the Saudi Labor Ministry website says that foreign workers of various faiths, including Judaism, are allowed to live and work in Saudi Arabia, unless they're from Israel or affiliated with Israel. They are still not allowed to publicly practice their religion. So one of our major allies in the Middle East does not think freedom of religion is important. There are no unions in Saudi Arabia. There's no written penal code. Beheadings and long prison terms often happen. The prisons are in awful conditions. No guarantee of free expression. And, of course, many of us know a little bit about women's situation in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Not being able to drive, not being able to have to wear the abaya, which is, head-to-toe covering when they're in public and they must be with a male guardian is what they call them. There's millions of migrant workers there, and they work under difficult conditions. A lot are unskilled laborers and domestic help. When they come, their passports are taken away. So it's a bad situation for them. And she does have a great chapter on the history of the Saudi-U.S. relations with the West. And the Saudis have used their petrodollars to invest heavily in commercial U.S. and European banks and the U.S. Treasury securities. They are probably the third largest investor in the U.S. Treasury after China and Japan. And their investment in U.S. assets is over $750 billion. So there's a lot of entanglements there with Saudi Arabia. In this book, Medea Benjamin really makes an excellent case that we're on the wrong side in Saudi Arabia. We should not support a government with which preaches and practices such intolerance, which beheads peaceful protesters, oppresses women and migrants, and bombs its neighbors. And there are groups that are mostly underground that are trying to work for a democratic Saudi Arabia, but it's very, very difficult. So if you're looking for information on Saudi Arabia, there's a great little book.
It is Kingdom of the Unjust, Behind the U.S.-Saudi Connection by Medea Benjamin. Fascinating stuff. Next
now,
up.
Madeline Blaze will be with us on July 7th at the Odyssey. Her new book is To the New Owners, a Martha's Vineyard Memoir. And she's from Amherst. She teaches, she's actually from Granby. We grew up in the same town. And just a little side, she was my babysitter.
Is that true?
It is true.
Excellent. Your babysitter wrote a memoir.
Well, she wrote an earlier memoir called Uphill Walkers, which is about growing up in Granby, Massachusetts.
Okay.
And I was an uphill walker also. It depended on, you know, where you lived.
Where you were downhill or uphill, right.
Uphill. Anyway, this is about she also married into, her husband is John Katzenbeck, the mm-hmm. thriller writer.
Oh, yeah.
And Maddie has, they both were journalists. Maddie's won a Pulitzer. And this new book is about the Katzenbecks, what started out as kind of a shack on Martha's Vineyard, that Nicholas Katzenbeck is her father-in-law, who was attorney general or assistant attorney general. And over the decades, the shack was eventually torn down, and then they built a small house there. And for many, many decades, the family summered there. And it's an interesting, it's a collage of Maddie and her husband John, how they met, and the very different kind of families. Maddie's father died. I call her Maddie. I mean, it's Madeline, but I've known her for
right.
decades.
You can call her Maddie.
I can call her Maddie. her father died when her mother, there were five young children and one on the way. So her mother raised six children as a single mom back in the 50s and 60s. And so that her first book is about that. So her family is very different from the Katzenbecks. You know, who grew up around Washington and then around, I think, New York or Connecticut. But she has, one of the things that happened is the family kept logs. So people who were guests and family members would write in the logs. So she shares a lot of that information, which is really insightful. And also she, there's famous people in the summer on the island. So being journalists, they got to know Katharine Graham and various other entertainers. And of course, the island changed a lot once the Clintons and the Obamas began to summer there. It got much more crowded. The house sat on Great Tisbury Pond, which was well stocked with oysters and crabs. And it was just a great summer place for their kids to grow up. And friends like Phil Caputo, the novelist, right. came. And so it's just a great summer story, and Maddie is a great, really fabulous storyteller. So I think a lot of people will enjoy this memoir.
It is To the New Owners, a Martha's Vineyard Memoir by Madeline, or Maddie, Blaze, and she'll be at the Odyssey July 7th at 7 p.m.
The next book is also a memoir, but very, very different. That's Hunger, a Memoir of My Body by Roxane Gay.
I just finished this book. This book is stunning.
It's a hard read sometimes, though.
It is. It's very difficult, but it's beautifully written.
It's beautifully written.
And tells
it's one
an
of the most
story.
Courageous
Absolutely.
Memoirs I've ever read. And this is she calls it a confession. She's telling her story. At 12 years old, she was gang raped by including her boyfriend. and never told anybody for years and years, did not tell her parents. And one of the ways that she dealt with this was to make her body a fortress, and she ate and ate and ate and became very large. She prefers to call herself a victim, not a survivor. She does not want to diminish the gravity of what happened. And writing this book was one of the hardest things she has ever done. You're right, the writing is some of it's short chapters, and you know, you finish one chapter and you're like, you have to sit back and just think about what she went through. She's a, you know, fabulous writer, and she writes essays and novels. She's Haitian American, teaching now at Purdue. She was at Mount Holyoke earlier this year for her short story collection. What's the title of that book? Anyway,
I'll find it here in a second.
So anyway, this is really one of the most amazing memoirs I've ever read.
It is called Hunger, and by Roxane Gay, and it is really an amazing book, and you should check it out. I'm still looking for the name of the other
Difficult Women.
There you go.
Okay.
Difficult Women. Difficult Women, and that came out earlier this year. Okay.
I'm going to skip around on you a little
bit.
That's
all right. I'll keep track.
The next book is another local author, Mira Bartok. This is a middle grade reader, although I think people of all ages will enjoy this book. It's called The Wonderling. This book there's been a buzz about this for about 2 years. I don't know if you noticed at Book Expo, you know, how they had the big two-story banners. There was one for this.
Yes.
And
so they're heavily promoting it.
And, you know, they've been talking about it. I was reading a PW article for almost 2 years ago where they were talking about
Publishers Weekly for the
Publishers
Uninitiated.
Publishers Week, yes. So this is another extraordinary, it's a debut novel. And, you know, almost with
Dickensian?
Dickensian. I always... Dickensian. Dickensian. It's a story about groundlings, which are half or part animals, part humans. And there's a horrible, evil Miss Carbuncle. And she runs the home for the wayward and misbegotten creatures. And one of our main characters, who only knows, he has a 13 around his neck, that's how he is referred to. Eventually, he meets Trinket, who is a bird without wings, really, and she gives him the name Arthur. And they go on all kinds of adventures. They finally escape from this horrible place, and then he travels around the country to all kinds of cities. And but the wonderling, the groundlings are heavily discriminated against. So he has to, you know, be very careful. And for a time he works underground in the sewers, which is a horrible place. But then he does escape with the help of a crow. And it just kind of goes on and on. It's lots of adventures. And there's also a thread of the plot is about this horrible woman who wants to take away all music and destroy song catchers. It's a longer book for middle grades, but I think that I'm going to give it to my 8-year-old granddaughter, and I think up till, you know, 13, 14, and those of us that are adults that like fantasy will be reading it. There's already film rights for this. It'll be animation as well as it'll be like a Harry Potter type thing, and this is the first of a trilogy. So Mira Bartok is on her way, and we will be launching the book on September 30th. It's not out to September, but I wanted to mention it. And hopefully a lot of people will come, and I think this will be one of the big kids' books of the season, definitely.
All right, we only have about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. So
okay, I'm going to just do Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls. Do you know about this book?
I've seen it, yes. Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls.
It's 100 bedtime stories illustrated by 60 female artists. It was a Kickstarter campaign, and over 13,000, there were over 13,000 backers. For a while, it's been very hard to get because they were selling so many. It's been translated into 30 languages, and each story has a wonderful illustration.
Gorgeous illustrations.
And it's been so successful that Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls 2 will be out, and it will have another 100 stories. And there will be a podcast that's another Kickstarter campaign. So it's pretty amazing.
It is Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls. Well, a beautiful list as always, and you've got a lot going on. Oh, real quick, mention the event at the Recipes for the from the Herbalist Kitchen.
Right. Brittany Wood Nickerson will be with us on July 13th at 7 o'clock. Recipes from the Herbalist Kitchen, delicious, nourishing food for lifelong health and well-being. A gorgeous book from Story. And only $25 in hardback, with lots of photos and recipes, and some very interesting recipes in here.
Good stuff. I was just looking at that yesterday. It's a beautiful book. For more information on the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts, you can visit them, 9 College Street in South Hadley. You can call them, or you can visit them online, odysseybks.com, odysseybks.com. You can see the list there. You can see the full list on our website as well, wamc.org. Joan, you're one of my favorite human beings. I thank you for all of the great work that you do in not only book selling, but to make our world a better place. And I thank you very much for
coming
by in the summer. And we look forward to seeing you back very soon.
And I look forward to seeing you in the Odyssey.
Sounds good. A deal. Right. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.